This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Dr. Pat Fagan back with us on the program. Dr. Fagan is director of the Marriage and Religion Research Institute at the Family Research Council. He formerly served for 13 years as a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. The Marriage and Religion Research Institute just released its annual report on family trends, and we are going to be talking with Dr. Fagan about this report, which examines the current state of the American family based on its behavior in five of society's most important institutions. Dr. Fagan, thanks so much for joining us again on Family Policy Matters.
It's good to be with you, John. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Now, Dr. Fagan, tell us about the annual report on family trends. What is the purpose of this report, and what is it intended to measure?
Well, it's pretty comprehensive. There's about over 250 charts with multiple trend lines in it. It's tracking. It's a picture of what has been happening in the American family and Americans in their social behaviors over the last, from 50, 60 years. Sometimes it's only 20 years. It depends how far back we can get the data. And we did this about 5 years ago, and we've brought it up to date and extended it quite a bit. So now I think it's probably the most comprehensive resource on the web that I'm aware of on these issues, where people can go in one place, get it all.
Well, very good. Now, the report examines the health of the family based on five societal institutions: the family, the church, school, the marketplace, and the government. Explain for us, if you will, why the report focuses on these five institutions or areas when examining the health of the American family.
Well, these are the five big tasks in life, or the five big tasks that every society has to pull off. Family, if society is going to keep existing, and it's the major building block, it's also the major thing that most of us dedicate our lives to. We go out to work, sure, but we're working essentially to bring the money home, to feed the others at home, to build family. Church, and by church there, I mean in its broadest sense, beliefs that people have, how they orient themselves to God, or if they don't believe in God, how they orient themselves to what they think is good and true. School is the whole task of education, learning and passing it on. The marketplace, well, that's work and income and exchange of goods and services. Marketplace really is the whole material good of society. And then government, how we conduct ourselves as citizens, is really our relationship to the commons, to the government of society for the good of all. These are the five basic tasks. All of us partake in them. And if a society is blessed, it's doing pretty well in all of them. And if it's not as blessed, well, it might be going down in some of them.
Now, the report has an entire section devoted to the health of the family, looking particularly at family structure and whether families are operating as intact families or families that are not intact. Tell us about this finding and what the report shows regarding family structure in the United States.
Well, we have a large amount of data devoted to that, probably close to 50, 60, 70 different charts. Overall, this is no surprise to anybody, family structure has been changing. The intact married family has been diminishing. If you look at the family, how many kids are in an intact family, that doesn't seem to be changing that much. But then when you look at, and this is funny when you do these things, or it's interesting how the data can look different. But if you then take a read of how are kids at age 17 doing, and we take age 17, it's like towards the end of their living at home before they begin to leave home. There, it's only about 46% of our children reach age 17 in an intact family where mom and dad are together still. Their biological father and mother all living together in the family. If you look at how all kids in the United States, how many of them are in an intact family, you get at around 70%. But that includes one-year-olds and two-year-olds and three-year-olds, and a number of those poor kids are going to see their parents divorce before they reach age 17. That's how it drops down to 46%. So We look at all that, what's been happening in marriage, what's been happening in divorce, in cohabitation, out of wedlock births, all those different things are tracked in this family structure section of the report.
And Dr. Fagan, really an alarming key finding in the report is that the out-of-wedlock birth rate in the United States continues to increase. Tell us about this finding and describe, if you will, the consequences of a continued increase in out-of-wedlock births in the United States.
Well, out-of-wedlock birth means that, you know, mom and dad are not married, and the likelihood of their getting married is much less. Probably only about a quarter of cohabiting couples end up married 10 years later. It might be a bit more than that, but there's a very significant drop off from the people who cohabit to those who are going to be married 10 years later. Being born out of wedlock is a very risky thing for most American children, and that has risen actually from, if you look 20 years ago, around 28%, now it's at 42%. So huge. And if you take the first child that a woman has, the first births are now approaching 50%. Almost half of first births are outside of marriage births. And that is a real weakening of society and of the social fabric. Because children, a quick way of summing up the social science research, children are as strong as the marriage between their parents is. One is a good reflection of the other. And by strong, I mean their capacity to work, to get through school, to be happy, stay out of trouble, have good friends, go on and get married, have the capacity to go on and get married. Those general strengths are very significantly diminished by out-of-wedlock births and families fractured. Parents not together.
Now, Dr. Fagan, Section 3 of the report focuses on abortion in the United States. What kind of changes have we experienced in the abortion rate since the 1970s, and what other findings related to abortion would you highlight for our listeners?
The good news is that the number of abortions is dropping steadily. Its high point was between 1980 and 1990 in sheer numbers, reaching over about 1.6 million, and now it has dropped down to about 1.2. So there's almost, 400,000 abortions less every year over the last 20 years or so. That's good news. And that's the big trend.
Well, it's also been very encouraging for us to see just generally that the support for life and the sanctity of life seems to be continuing to grow in our culture. And that, I think, is a reflection on the trends that we've seen. And so we're encouraged for what that means for the future of life in our country. Dr. Fagan, what are some of the key findings from the report related to marriage and divorce in the United States? And we've been talking about single-parent families and different family structures, but as far as families that are staying together and the overall health of marriage in the United States in general, what do you take from the report with respect to that?
Overall, marriage is going down significantly from about the mid-80s to the present. There's been a significant drop-off per year from about close to 2.5 million marriages down to a little over 2 million. So there's a drop of almost 500,000 marriages, even as the population has gone up each year. Now, interesting within that, among high-income people, marriage intactness and marriage rates is actually increasing. It has, as we talked about before, it's almost disappeared among the poorest. And among what we call the working class, their cohabitation is taking over. And cohabitation is fragile, and a lot of them break up. Many people go on to be married later, but marriage is disappearing a lot in our poor and just above poverty groups. You don't hear the educated high-income people speaking out and giving leadership on this. What they're increasingly wanting and getting and ensuring their children grow towards, they're not, as it were, promulgating the same benefits to the poor. So this is a bit of a contrast, and let's hope that the more educated begin to speak up and say it is better for the poor to be married. But that's the big picture. Charles Murray in Losing Ground was, really highlighted this difference, and he called it breaking apart. Our educated people are breaking away. The whole structure there is breaking away from what's happening among our poor.
Right. Well, we certainly need to be encouraging marriage in all segments of our culture. Now, Dr. Fagan, we started out talking about this report in kind of a bigger picture perspective, and you spoke in terms of the five big tasks that we have as a society that incorporate things like the economy and government. And you've explained this some, but explain more for us, if you will, about how the health of the American family and in particular, the condition of marriage impacts the well-being of all areas of society, including the economy, government, etc.
The family itself is a microcosm of society at large. Within every family, you have the five tasks, the five institutions of the family itself, clearly. Government, parents, getting together, having order in the family, making sure the kids do the right thing, that's government. Education, most foundationally, actually, the most important education takes place in a child before it leaves home for kindergarten. And the foundations are laid down there by what's happening in the family. Income and work and the economy is first learned in the family. That's where kids learn to work. They see mom and dad working, and they have their chores and that whole aspect of responsibility. And then the government, we talked about that, the law-abidingness, and church, learning values, learning moral principles, thinking about the big questions of existence, what happens after life and death, is there a creator? All that work goes on in the family. As the family goes, so goes society. That's why it's the intactness of the family is key, because when the marriage breaks apart, all of those institutions, all of those tasks are weakened. The next generation is more likely, the kids of those are more likely to break apart. There's a drop-off in religious attendance. There's less education performance. There's more crime, more things going wrong. There's less income. There's less savings. Every institution is affected.
Well, so when groups like the North Carolina Family Policy Council and the Family Research Council and others across the nation speak in terms of marriage really being the building block of our society, we're not speaking of that in abstract terms, but the well-being of the family and the strength of the family has repercussions for our entire culture. Would you agree with that?
Oh, sure. That's what, you and I have dedicated our lives to, making this clear to people and reminding people. The drift of society, the sort of the autonomous spirit, is almost like the spirit of the age, is pushing the other direction, is pushing us apart more, I'd call it, and we end up rejecting each other in the intimate setting of family, and this is breaking apart. It's painful and weakening for the children. So the work you're doing at the North Carolina Family Policy Council is great, because you're trying to sort of make the case, look, we need to belong to each other. It, at times it's tough, but it's well worth it. In the end, it's well worth it for us. We're going to be happier. We know we've done the right thing, and our kids are going to be so much happier. When mom and dad belong, and they can belong with mom and dad, that's life the way it's meant to be. Huh. Everybody is better off.
Well, in this report, the annual report on the family trends that you have published is such a great resource to display in statistical and other terms why exactly that is the case. And so I do want to take a moment and just have you, if you would, again, repeat the website where our listeners can go and avail themselves of this great report and the valuable information that you have there. So, Dr. Fagan, if you could give us that website again, that'd be super.
Sure. It's MARRI, M-A-R-R-I, which is an acronym for Marriage and Religion Research Institute, MARRI.us.
Well, Dr. Pat Fagan, it's always a pleasure to have you with us on Family Policy Matters. We thank you so much for your time and your continued good work at the Family Research Council and for all that you do. Thanks again so much for being with us today.
It was very good to be with you, John, and God bless your work down there in North Carolina.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.